I really do love that song because it really reminds us of our life really is a faith journey, and God meets us in different ways all along that journey. I love the one verse there towards the beginning. When you were a child, you had this faith that suits you well. And it made me think for just a minute of an email I got the other day, and it was a story of a little girl who had another addition come into the family. And a little brother was born. And this little girl wanted to help in so many ways to take care of this newborn brother. And so she was constantly just after mom and dad to let her take care of him and to help out and around the house and to be able to just spend some time alone. Remember those days? Remember those days? And that fear and trepidation that comes along with that of, well, how much do you trust him with? And really, can we leave him alone for a minute? And man, what's going to happen if the door gets closed and I'm not watching? And there came a moment where they finally decided that they would. They seemed to get along so well. And so they opened up. They decided to just put the little boy down in the crib one day and to let his sister come in and spend some time there, just the two of them. And so when they told her she could, she was just so excited, and she ran into the room and she kind of closed the door behind her, but not all the way. And of course, mom and dad ran to the door to see what was going to happen next. And, was she going to try to pick out the toy that he ought to play with, or was she just going to sit there quietly not knowing what to do? But no, she just quickly ran over and got a little stool and got it up so that she could get really close to her brother. And she whispered, "Remind me what God smells like. Remind me what God feels like. I've almost forgotten." Isn't it quick? You know, the Bible talks time and time again of that need that we have for a childlike faith. Isn't it amazing how quickly we can forget that? How it can slip away in all the things that are going on in life and going on around us. And we can celebrate at Christmas time and a wonderful time of gathering with family and friends and think about the incredible message that's there and the difference that it makes in our life every day before the boxes are put away, before the things are back in the closet. It seems to have faded away and life's right back to the way it was. But it's really not the way it should be. Because the baptism of Christ and our baptism into the family of God makes it different. So I want to lift up to you these words that come from, again, it's another story that lifts up that image of water. I often, I love it because of it talks about passing through the waters. And again, sometimes water isn't clear. You know, we might go to a river, to a stream here in Vermont where we can look down into the water and see how, you know, see every stone that's there on the bottom and know what color it is and know what it looks like. But this Jordan River that Jesus was baptized into wasn't anything like that. As I shared with you some before, when I was baptized in the Jordan, it's cold and it's muddy. And the bottom is really slimy. And Jewish people, they don't eat fish without scales because they're not kosher. And so there's suckers that are in there that, I got to tell you, are huge. And they warn you, watch out for the suckers when they come between your legs when you get in there. And they do that for a reason. And this is the water that Jesus was baptized into. It wasn't something that happened in the clean sanctuary. It wasn't something that happened with beautiful water that had been, you know, poured into our baptismal font and prayed over. And that's the way Jesus comes into our life. He comes into all the wonder. He comes into the wonderful things that we want to celebrate. And He also comes into the muck of it all. The trials and the tribulations and the not knowing what's really there because we can't really see. This comes from Isaiah chapter 43. Verses 1 through 7. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have summoned you by name. For I have redeemed you, and I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they won't sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead, Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. For everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. May God add His blessing to the reading and hearing, and more importantly, the coming alive of His Word in our lives and in this world that we live in. You know, I love Isaiah's poetic language anyways, but I really love the images that come alive in this Scripture. You know, he begins by saying, he talks to Jacob, He who created you and He who formed you, Israel. Isaiah brings the people right back, and he brings us right back to that point of creation. To that point in the book of Genesis where God looks out into all the chaos and begins to speak new life. Begins to say, to talk about trees and they come alive. It begins to talk about land and it appears in the middle of the water. It begins to talk about light and darkness and the two of them come there and they begin to give some meaning to time and a rhythm to life. The creation story. But he also then he moves right into the second creation story, if you will, or the second account of that creation story that we find in Genesis 2. Where he talks about how God just reaches down into the mud, into the clay, into all the muck of the earth, and he forms Adam in his image. And then he comes down even closer and he breathes life into Adam, just like he does us. Then Isaiah reminds us it doesn't end here. That the same God who's in the business of creating and shaping and forming and breathing life, He redeems and He summons. As we sung about in different ways today, He calls each one of us by name. And in different ways and in different seasons in our life. And we respond to that call in different ways in those different seasons. And one way is through the one way of responding, and one way that many have responded through the ages, and many of us here have probably responded, is through the sacrament of baptism. Through that moment where we say yes to God, or someone says yes on our behalf and gets us ready for the point when we become older and are confirmed in the church and say yes for ourselves. And they're special moments. I was thinking about that earlier this week. I was at the funeral of Chief Ralph Jackman. And the priest was talking about baptism, and he was talking about Ralph's baptism. And that moment when Ralph's parents brought him forward, and everybody together said yes to God, and celebrated that moment in his life with God in a special way. And then he went on to talk about how important, how that was just the beginning, and how faith was really important to Ralph through the years, and how in the later years, when he was eventually called to serve in our nation's military, he was over in Europe. And how he would travel from community to community. And he'd be in a different place every Sunday. But they claim there's not a Sunday that went by that he didn't find his way into church. He worshipped with different people every week. And isn't that a wonderful image of baptism? That because of what Christ has done and because of our willingness and our desire and or maybe even our reluctance to respond, God welcomes us into the family in so many different ways, in so many different places. This kingdom of God that we're baptized into is bigger than the walls of any one church. There's no church, there's no denomination that's big enough to hold God. But then it doesn't stop there. Isaiah goes on to make it clear that not only is it, as I just mentioned, there's not a church that could hold God. There's not a trial. There's not a murky water anywhere that's so deep and dark, or a trial that's so big or so hot and fiery that it could separate us from God. Because God reaches right down through it all to meet us where we're at. Whether it's on the mountaintop celebrating some of those milestones in life, or whether it's in the midst of the deepest trials that we face, God will be there. And Isaiah just continues to lift that up and to make that known. And God speaks to the people through Isaiah, reminding them time and time again, don't be afraid. I'll be with you always. Those words sound familiar? Because they should. Because the Scriptures are filled with those same words, time and time again. How many times, as we remember the Christmas story through the Advent and Christmas season, did we see the angels show up and say to the people, don't be afraid. And then Jesus, as He would move from His baptism into His ministry, begin to call the disciples one by one to come and to follow. He would say, don't be afraid, in many different ways, as they met together, as they learned together, as they laughed and cried together. And when Jesus was coming to that point where He was getting ready for His death, He talked a lot about His death with the disciples. He talked openly and honestly about it. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God's still going to be with you. You don't understand it all yet, but God will be there. You won't be left orphaned. Those beautiful words that we find in John 14 and 15. Those words that we lift up every time we gather for funerals. And we celebrate. We remember those words. Because they're important. So today, when we remember the baptism of Christ, I hope that we continue to remember the difference that that baptism makes in our lives. And I think it's really divinely placed in the calendar year. You know, we remember it, of course, because we're moving out of Christmas and into the beginning of Jesus' ministry and remembering that in the Christian calendar year. But we're also moving into a new calendar year, and in this case, this year, a new decade. I don't know about you, but sometimes those changing of the guard again, that moving into the new year, kind of brings up all kinds of different thoughts. You know, the things we've been celebrating, thinking of the things of last year. We've lifted those up on New Year's Eve, and then we move into the new year. And suddenly we realize there's still more challenges that lie ahead. Some of them are the same challenges that we dealt with last year, and some of them are new challenges, and there's some new challenges that we don't even know are out there yet. But the good news is that no matter how murky the waters get, no matter how difficult the trials will become, God says, don't be afraid. I love you. Because of that, I summoned you by name. Because of that, I'll provide you with everything that you need for each step of the road. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord, we just thank You that we come together here today from so many different places and situations and just dealing with life in so many ways. But we thank You that You're faithful. You're faithful to meet each one of us where we're at. And so we pray, Lord, that You'd open up our hearts and our minds to Your presence and to Your love in a special way today. And that You'd continue to guide us and lead us and to light our path as we journey together into a new year. We thank You, Lord, that as we look to murky waters and celebrating life and all the stuff that comes with each day that we live, we thank You that we'll encounter You in many surprising ways. So, Lord, teach us to pay attention. Teach us to pay attention like the gospel writers and the scripture writers have in sharing those stories with us. Teach us to pay attention to, Lord, how we can share Your love and Your grace in the moment with people that we're going to meet along the way in this year that lies ahead. And so, Lord, as You meet us here this morning, as we look ahead, as we look to the year ahead, we ask You these things and so much more in Jesus' mighty name.